You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Start today's show by speaking to musician and former ANC MP Jennifer Ferguson. Some of you might have seen yesterday in the city press, the story was carried that in fact a charge of rape had now been laid against soccer boss Denny Yordan by Jennifer Ferguson. We spoke to Jennifer last week. Many of you have listened to that podcast, which you can still find on 702.co.za or capetalk.co.za. Capetalk.co.za if you really want to understand who Jennifer is, what her music is about, her art, where she comes from in terms of her activism, and who the person is behind this particular story that has been in the news now for many, many months. But until now, she had, of course, not laid criminal charges as such. And she is here on a tour of music in Mpumalanga as well as at the Baxter Theatre. And we're very grateful this morning that despite her busy schedule, she is allowing us about 5 minutes or so to just check in with her on this particular story that broke over the weekend. Jennifer, good morning to you and thank you so much for making time for us.
Hello, Yusinia. Thank you so much.
Jennifer, obviously this is a decision you could not have taken lightly because you have been thinking about it for 2 decades plus. Can you articulate for us, if that's possible, what it is that went into your decision to lay a charge of rape against Denny Yordan?
It hasn't been an easy decision, and I'm very aware of the serious journey we're embarking on with this, and a journey that is unfortunately, I think, very prejudicial to survivors of rape. As we know, you know, this Kwesi-Kwesi-Fezekile Kuzwayo case set a precedent of how justice can be distorted. But we have also the Bob Hewitt case, where there was a landmark ruling and offences that had been committed 20 years ago, even more, were accepted. You know, they were acknowledged judicially, and there was justice. So we are hoping that this is the kind of precedent that's going to be set, because this whole area of intimate, the expression of our most intimate relationships and where violation and misconduct occurs, it's very, very difficult to legislate. It's the kind of grey areas of our lives. So I'm very aware that according to the the criminal court, I've got to be able to prove, or the state has got to be able to prove, I'm a witness for the state beyond all reasonable doubt. And what have we got really but my story and your dance story? But we also have other women that are going to come forward. And we are encouraging women, because we know that there's more than just the three of us, that there's more we have. You know, we're just kind of having to make them feel safe and that their identity can be protected, those kind of things, because there is a huge amount of fear. So victims of rape, we're not really only fighting the stigma and the kind of prejudice in our society around it, but there's also concerns really for safety. Unfortunately.
Jennifer, does that mean that there are other women who also are going to come out and suggest that that Denny Yordan is in fact someone that had sexually assaulted or even raped them? Is that what you're saying? Because I've seen the statement here where you say that, quote, there are other survivors of sexual misconduct who will now stand with me. And I was wondering whether that's an allusion to survivors in general that are showing some empathy for what you are going through, or whether that is specifically a reference to Denny Yordan.
It's a specific reference.
What was your interaction when you laid the charge? One of the difficulties that so many survivors of rape experience is that often the criminal justice system can be exceptionally clinical, adversarial, and misogynistic, even though the charge offers. Where did you lay the charge, and what was your experience?
Well, we laid it at Parkview late at night, and the police station was empty. And I had two friends of mine with me, on either side of me. That was really important, because I think that was maybe the biggest thing when it happened, that I didn't have anybody with me. I didn't have anybody I could confide in, and there was nobody I could feel could actually help me, you know, take any, even it was inconceivable. But we went to Parkview and we were met by a rather reticent sergeant who unfortunately didn't really want to take my, he didn't want to open a case. He asked me where my medical records were. He asked me where, how can we do this so long afterwards? You know, all these kind of questions. Wow. Unfortunately, I did have counsel that I could call and was sort of confirmed. So we had to be very patient. And in the end, this, the sergeant was talking to my friend who's a man. And I kind of withdrew. I had to stand at the side because the sergeant found it easier to talk to a man. And as this was happening, I was so aware, I was grateful that I could experience and be able to communicate what is actually happening. And this is Parkview because I'm living at a friend's place in Parktown. But if you go to Dipslert or you go to Elsie's or you go into the rural areas, you have a nightmare, you know, where women, children, victims of rape are just treated. There's no skills whatsoever. And if only TF complex. So I, on some level, I feel I'm being empowered through this painful process of I'm understanding, I'm tasting just a little bit of this huge, very, very foul and very rotten space which doesn't serve victims of crime. And we have to change this.
We reached out to Danny Jordaan, no response. We also reached out to his lawyer, and she did give a comment to Megan, my producer. We also have a voice clip here in which she comments. I don't know how clearly you will hear it. I'll summarize it for you if you don't. But I just want you to listen a little bit to this very short clip of what his lawyer had to say, Jennifer. Just listen to this.
Dr. Jordaan has further said that from the time that Ms. Ferguson first made these allegations on social media, the legal system is the only forum in which Ms. Ferguson's version can be tested. The court proceedings will allow him and the South African public the opportunity to get to the truth.
I don't know if you heard there, the essence of it being that the court is the only forum in which to hear this, and in a sort of, I suppose, quite a bullish kind of way, welcoming the possibility of a court process.
Yes. I mean, he hasn't, technically, there's been no direct denial. And I mean, I think this is, it's also important, but we're going to be entering what is the terrain of the lawyers. You know, and there's going to be this whole expensive, very, and time and energy expensive thing. But at the same time, Eusebius, what I feel, what motivated me to go and lay a charge, if I just have to get what I feel, is, the, as I've said in our earlier interview and consistently, that my story is just one of many. And as such, the legal routes, flawed as they are, is in a way what's available to us. But what I'm deciding to do is to seize the platform of it and to hopefully spearhead, motivate, galvanize a big campaign, whether we call it hashtag WeToo or whatever, but that we can address this whole, this abnormal situation that we have in the country, which has gone on for so long, despite the amazing work that NGOs have done, despite the inroads that we've made, but it's not good enough. So I'm hoping we're going to get a lot of partners on board with this. The concert at the Baxter now, 4th to 7th of April, part of that journey of let's utilize whatever skills we have to raise these issues.
Absolutely. Well, we're certainly going to be partnering to put the focus on sexual violence. We're going to do so tomorrow on this show in a big way as well. A final question for today, Jennifer, and yeah, I mean, this whole, I wish we were rather talking music, but of course the reality is that sexual violence is rife, and that is why these conversations become distracting journeys that too many women and girls need to go on. In your statement, you said the following. This offer that was reaching out to Mr. Jordaan, sought to be consistent with South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation process. The TRC process acknowledged the common humanity and need for healing of both the victim and the perpetrator, and a place where one's mutual humanity can be revived. Obviously, that was not accepted by Mr. Jordaan, which has now led to this rape charge being laid against him from yourself. But I wonder if you can just end by explaining why you even would have wanted an opportunity to have a TRC type of process with someone that had violated you.
Because I think these kind of, the courts are not there, they're not the spaces that create healing. And my work up to now has been to find how do we do things in ways that are mutually acknowledging of our common shared humanity, and that offer the possibility of not only rehabilitation, but also a restorative process. And the restorative justice process acknowledges that it's not just your Don and me, it's our families that are affected, it's our community. It's your Don is a representative of the world of soccer. It's millions of people in a way. He's spearheading. He's an example. His behavior and the way he's handling his misconduct or his errors can define and can inspire, or they can just sink the mentality. We can exacerbate the problem. We can exacerbate an existing sickness. And I was hoping that he could rise to the moment, as many of our leaders have done in the past, many of our families, when they've been dealing with past trauma, with past violations, being able to extend extraordinary capacity for meeting the other, the perpetrator, with mercy. And that is what I do believe. Restorative justice can do that. And I want that to be, we need to push for that to be introduced, especially in terrains of sexual violence. Sometimes it's a husband and a wife. And you have the children. How do you put this together? You know, it's very, very difficult areas. But I'm hoping that hashtag #WeToo, we can start again to give fuel and energy to these kind of very complex conversations.
Absolutely. Jennifer, thank you for your courage, for making time for us. I wish you best on your journey of healing, and that you may find justice, and that this doesn't come to define you as Jennifer the rape survivor, but that you can still be Jennifer the amazing activist, politician, and musician.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bye.